is that God is that you can know God's goodness, that you can know God's incredible love and power in your life. Do you know, one of the things of this day and age, I find at the present moment, that people seem to be wandering around purposeless. There's a bit purposeless. Don't seem to have an identity, not quite sure of their future. And when we're engaged in a world that just wants to so mess your life up, it's understandable that people have got very little purpose in life. But it's wonderful when you come to accept and acknowledge that our God created us, that He sent Jesus Christ for us. It's amazing how your purposelessness becomes purposeful. You start to get some purpose, you start to know why you're created, and you start to get some identity based around who He is in you. And I think that's powerful. And so I want to encourage us. It actually says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. We're not one to God. We're not saved by good works. But when we come to Jesus, receive Him into our life, then we have great purpose in doing good works or doing good things. So it's you've got to be clear on that. Good works does not get us to heaven alone. It's a faith in Jesus Christ. So it says in good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He wants us to live every day with His purposes on our mind. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, I thought the best way to do that is to look at a book in the Bible. One of the ways to do that, there's a book in the Bible called Proverbs. It's an Old Testament book. It's got 31 chapters. It was written by a man called Solomon. Well, the majority of it was anyway. He was King David's son. And Solomon wrote Proverbs one night. Solomon, it says in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon had a dream. And the dream was God asking him, what would you like, Solomon? What do you really need if you're going to rule the nation of Israel? Because he'd been passed the nation of Israel by David, his father. And Solomon, in his dream, he said to God, he said, you know, God, that you'd give me wisdom because I don't know how. I don't know how to rule. I'm young, a young king at this stage. I want wisdom to be able to guide this nation of Israel. And God said, I'll do that for you. And thus, out of that came a majority of the book of Proverbs as Solomon wrote down the wisdom that he expressed. And, you know, the truth is we can all have knowledge, but it's never really wisdom until it's applied. Is that true? Because you can have a ton of knowledge and still be hopeless in life, still have no hope or purpose because you haven't applied. And so today I want to just start a theme in the next several weeks in regards to His wisdom, your life. And it's all from the book of Proverbs. And I want to take clusters of thoughts. I want to take a theme around each week around Proverbs and what it speaks about, and then just preach on that. Because, you know, you can get different topics in Proverbs, and it's a bit here and a bit there and a bit somewhere else. By the way, I might just swap over mics, Greg. Thank you.
How's that? I know, it's worth crying about. I'll stick this here. That just stops the echo a little bit sometimes, whatever happens out there. So, you know, Proverbs is brilliant in that it gives us so much wisdom, but we need to apply it. And so I'm just going to take a topic each week, and we're just going to address it in regards to how do we do life, how do we find purpose, how do we find wisdom and identity in Christ, in our Heavenly Father. So today I just want to start with this verse. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Just one verse and we'll dive off from there. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, it says, I hate. I want to focus on that second bit of that verse. It says, notice it says, the perverse mouth I hate. What does that mean? Well, really simply, it means that God actually cares about how you talk. Okay? God actually cares about what you speak, the words that come out of your mouth. And you might have heard the saying, words are cheap and actions speak louder than words. Well, according to this, not according to Scripture, because, I mean, actions are important, don't get me wrong, but the words that we speak are equally, if not more important. More important. And the way we use our mouth is vitally important to our Heavenly Father. And I think it should be vitally important to us as well.
I reckon the number one theme in Proverbs besides wisdom, the second number one theme would have to be the tongue, because there's so many verses about it and how we speak. So here we go. Let me today just talk about three things the tongue does from the book of Proverbs. Three things, your tongue. We've all got a tongue. Every one of us were born with one. There's very few people who aren't. And obviously our tongue, there's something about it that we need to learn. So the first thing about our tongue is really simple. Our tongue is a rudder, okay? Our tongue can steer the direction of our life. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, here's another proverb. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There you go. You know it, don't you? And those who love it will eat its fruit. So here we go. What outcome do you want? Do you want death? It's in your tongue. Do you want life? It's in your tongue. You got to start there. You got to start to realize what you're speaking, because what you speak can affect the direction of your life. There's a book of James, and in one chapter of this little book of the New Testament, it actually says this. It talks about the tongue. A whole chapter 3, verses 3 to 5, says this. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look at also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Interesting, isn't it? Whole lot of metaphors there. It talks about horses. It talks about, obviously, a forest fire. But it talks about ships, which I think is pretty prevalent for our community and culture in Gladstone. You go down to the wharf and you'll see ships. And when they're not loaded, you'll sometimes see them high in the water. And you'll see a rudder and a propeller, which look pretty big, because compared to the boat that we may own. But really, compared to the ship, it's quite small. I've always been amazed. How come a little rudder, can steer such a big ship? You just got to turn it a bit and it affects it. It's a wonderful piece of engineering, isn't it? But you know what? God knew about it before it was ever produced. God knew, because he says, your tongue is like a rudder. It directs your life. One Christmas, my brother-in-law bought his boat up for Christmas holidays. And we decided one day, he said, let's go up the Calliope River. I said, yep. So him and I went up the Calliope River. Now, I've been up the Calliope River so far, but there's a place, a point where I've never been past. And we got to that point this day. And I said to Laurie, I don't think we should go any further. I don't know how deep it is. He looked at me and said, don't be silly. And within 3 seconds, and I don't tell a lie, it would have been possibly even shorter. Within 3 seconds, he sped up the left-hand side of the river, and bang, we hit rocks. Now, thankfully, it was not the hull. It was the propeller in the leg of the outboard motor that hit the rocks. We lifted the motor out of the water. You know, you can outboard motors. And the propeller was completely mangled. Also, the leg part that the propeller was on, which is really the rudder, you can understand that, can't you? It was damaged as well. I put a paddle over the side of the vessel, I remember, and we were only in half a meter of water. Laurie looked at me and said, you're the captain? That's what he said to me. You're the captain. Where are we going? I said, back the way we came. We're not going this way. The thing that amazed me that day as we tried to get back to the ramp at the power station is that how the damaged prop not only stopped the power, there was just no power. We literally just crawled along because it was so damaged. But the actual steering mechanism was damaged because of the motor itself. The leg of that motor was damaged. And so we'd be steering along and the boat would veer to the left and we'd have to pull it back to the right and we'd oversteer and it'd go this way. And if anybody saw what we were doing, they would thought, what is wrong with those guys? Look like, you know, a little bit too much out on the water to drink, maybe. But anyway, we zigged back home. Eventually, we got home, thankfully. And it amazed me. Once again, I was amazed at such a small area, such a small thing determines the course and destiny of that ship, that little boat. But you know what, folks? When you haven't got it, you realize how important it is. And that day, we nearly didn't have anything, and I realized how important it is. And your tongue is like that. Because your destiny, your future, your purpose is in your tongue. That's what the Bible says. It's like a rudder. It steers your life. And so what we speak and what we say is so vitally important, not just to God, but it need to be vitally important to us and realize how that works. While I'm amazed at what God could, just a little part of our body compared to the rest, and which is a great illustration, isn't it? I'm amazed that sometimes people get so caught up these days in giving commentary on the way things are, when I believe that as Christians, we don't need to do that. We need to give commentary or proclamation to the way things need to be, or what we need, where we need to go. And some people give so much time to commentating. Oh, this is where I am. This is my problem. This is my issue. This is my struggle. When I think, you know, what we need to do is we need to speak, not what is, but we need to speak what can be or where we need to go. It changes. It changes. You see, it's the course of your life. If you keep on speaking about, oh, well, this is it, that's the place you'll park your life. But if you speak something where I want to go, it's amazing how your heart then starts to follow. And, you know, we need to be careful of our tongue. We're not called to be commentators, church, on how things are. We're called to be proclaimers of how things are going to be and how things are going to be, more importantly, in your life, in my life. And so that's how the power of our tongue. The Bible actually says this all the time. The Bible agrees with me because it says, let the weak say, I am never going to make it. Let the weak say, I am strong. And then the Bible says, let the poor say they are going to wait for the next interest rate go down, you know. No, let the poor say they are rich. Some may say, well, that's just hype. No, it's not. It's Bible. That's what the Bible says. Because the way that you speak will be the course your life takes. It's true. That's how powerful our words are. Stop commentating on things and start declaring the way it can be. God calls us to be a prophetic people, doesn't he? To speak the truth. You know, you say, oh, you know, how does that happen? Well, it's amazing when we start to speak life. It certainly doesn't help when you start to say things like, yeah, I'll never make it. And this is the way it is, and this is the way I'm always going to be. Who says so? You and the devil. That's all that's agreeing with you. No one else. Why don't you start to speak what the truth is about? Find out what God's word says about you and start to believe and speak that. So even Jesus did this. The Bible says, Jesus says, speak to the mountain and it will be moved. He doesn't say speak about the mountain. Oh, this mountain, if this mountain wasn't here, it would be a lot better. If this mountain wasn't here, we could at least move forward. No. He doesn't say speak about it. He says speak to it and it'll be moved. There's a difference, isn't there? So what are you going to do? Are you going to speak to them or are you going to speak about it? And too many times I've found, and I'm growing and learning, that sometimes I just speak about the problem. I just speak about this. I speak about that. Now, I'm not saying not be real, not face the issues, not face the circumstances. Of course not. I know what your problem, what the issue is and the problem. Of course you've got to address it. But the reality is that, you know, from there, why don't we start to speak and proclaim where we need to go, not what we are now. So much a difference. Our tongue directs the course of our life. It's a rudder. Our tongue, secondly, is a diffuser. Our tongue is a diffuser. Our tongue affects the atmosphere around you. Earlier in the year, Michelle and I had a holiday for a little while, and we were in and out of motels a little bit and Airbnbs and had a great time. And not just this time, but before that, but I was reminded this time that you go into a motel and you smell this fragrance in the motel room and you think, oh, that's nice. And you go into the bathroom or you go into another room in the Airbnb in that house and it all smells the same fragrance. And you think, and initially many years ago when I first walked into a motel room, I laid on the bed and there was a fragrance throughout the motel room. And I was laying there, and as I laid there, I heard this whoosh, and I'm like, what is that? And then half an hour later, I hear this, whoosh, and so it got the better of me, and I start searching around. Is there something in the room? Is there, I don't know, what's in the room making that noise? And I looked up on the wall, and there's a diffuser. There's this little machine that, you know, every half an hour, whatever, I don't know, hour, three quarters of an hour, it'll diffuse, it'll spit out a little fragrance, and it affects the atmosphere of the whole house or the whole room. My My wife bought a diffuser for home. You know, and it's one of those round things, and you put water in it, and you drop some droplets in it, you know, whatever you flavor. Well, you don't drink it, but it's whatever perfume we want, and then you put the top on it, and you turn it on, and smoke comes out the top, you know. I don't know if it's smoke as much as vapor. That's smoke, isn't it? And it changes the fragrance in the room or the house, doesn't it? You know what? We are like that. Every time we speak, we are like diffusers. Every time you speak, you're diffusing something. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You know? But a harsh word stirs up anger. I don't know how to illustrate it, but that's just about my bit. A soft answer turns, and when you speak life, you know, when you speak death, it's just terrible. I don't know how to illustrate it, but that's the reality. I'd parked my car behind Gundoon Street many, many years ago, I hadn't got out of the car, and there's a knock on my window of the car. I'm like, oh, hello. So I pushed the button, the window went down, and this lady said, you're in my car park. I'm like, she didn't stop for breath. She said, don't you realize that's a disabled car park? I'm a disabled person. You don't realize what you're doing to me. And I thought, what am I doing to you? And anyway, I hesitated for a moment. She did have to breathe at one point. So I got an opportunity to think about what I was going to say. And you know, sometimes I'm not real smart, but this day I was pretty intelligent because I saw there's a tree above the car park, and it dropped all its leaves on the car park, and it had hidden the actual wheelie sign or the disabled sign that was there imprinted on the bitumen car park spot. And so when she stopped going, yeah, I looked up and I said, I'm sorry. And I said, I think you'll find that I've not understood, but there's a tree here, the leaves have fallen, I couldn't see the sign, and that's why I've parked there. Do you know what just changed? It diffused her. It just changed the atmosphere. And before I knew it, she's pouring out her life to me. I'm sitting in the car, she's leaning in, I'm like, yeah, okay. She said to me, you know, people don't think I'm disabled because I don't go in a wheelchair. And I said, oh, why is that? She says, well, I use this crutch. And, you know, when I saw her walk away, her body is twisted and she has to walk with an incredible, massive limp. And, you know, and they said, you know what, someone put a sign on under my windscreen wiper the other day. And what they said to me, you're not disabled because you can walk. You shouldn't be allowed in this car park. And she said, I was so hurt by that. I said, I can understand that, you know. She is now getting softer and softer and softer. She's opening her life up, and I'm talking to her. My goodness, it took everything, but not, you know, I could have prayed for her and just, you know, but I thought, you know, anyway, I can't quite reach. She's leaning in too far. We just personal space here, but anyway. But, you know, the reality was that it just changed. You know, it diffuses the atmosphere around you. It really does. It diffuses the atmosphere depending on what you speak. See, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says, a perverse man or a perverse person sows what? Strife. And a whisperer separates the best of friends. Interesting, isn't it? Have you ever been in a situation, maybe in a group setting, maybe at work, maybe, you know, at a sporting event or something, and you know, maybe there's a set of parents that are all talking on the sideline, cheering their children on, and then there's this one parent who just comes up and rips it into the ref, and the whole atmosphere goes toxic, and everybody goes quiet. Don't want to talk. Or you're in a situation at work, and you walk in there, and then after a moment, the atmosphere goes toxic because there's someone whispering or someone saying something that's just inappropriate and not right. You know, and that's what the Bible's saying here. A whisperer, you know, separates the best of friends. In other words, someone's willing to just a little bit of gossip about him. If you ever walk into a room and everybody goes quiet and they start to whisper in each other's ears, try and not get too defensive. But you know what I'm saying? It can be that toxic atmosphere. And you know, and what they're doing is they're going, it's just, they're putting their odor in the room. They're diffusing this toxic kind of attitude into the room, and it's spreading. And it's a shame, isn't it? But that's what the Bible's saying. A whisperer, a gossiper separates the best of friends. How terrible is that, eh? Or a talebearer, someone who wants to tell a tale about someone else.
who wants to tell a lie. It just it makes it so difficult. So we see what's also need to be careful, not only what what we say, but also what we the truth is what we listen to. You ever had a conversation and the person speaking to you is just like getting really toxic in what they're saying? And you're like, oh, you know what? You've got to stop yourself from receiving that. You got to stop. You saying, you could just grab these three fingers and go, mm. But, you know, it mightn't go over too well. But you got to be careful, because it can affect your soul. It can affect what you're like. It can be, it's just diffusing. The person's diffusing, almost like verbal vomit just coming out of their mouths, you know. So you've got to be careful. Not only that, you've got to be careful what you listen to. Social media. If it's just all rubbish, can I just say, stop it? Just turn it off. Don't listen to it. If it's some conspiracy theory that just wants to, just stop it. Is that okay? It just doesn't do you any good. It pollutes your soul, folks. Oh, no one's happy about that one. It's not a good. Maybe someone has spoken. Here's another one. Maybe someone has spoken some words. This is more serious. Spoken some words over you, and they've diffused or affected the atmosphere in your soul. I remember I was living with a young man before I got married. 18 months, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he lived with me in my house. And I discipled him as much as I could. He's a good, nice guy, a good guy, and but he had a hang up. About his body image. Massive hang up about it. And you know what? Look at him. He was fit. He was quite a handsome young man. And yet someone had spoken to him. I know you might find this a bit silly and a bit laughable, but someone had said to him, you know, you've got hairy legs. And he lived trying to cover his hairy legs up. For the 18 months I was there, he'd go to work with long pants on. He'd go to church. He'd come to church. Of course, you wear long pants at church, but some wear shorts. That's okay. Obviously, you guys have got no problems with your hairy legs. But my mate John, he just had and someone who he cared for, someone who he trusted had spoken to him, had spoken over his life, and it affected his whole attitude about his body image. Affected him so badly. And you know, we'd sit down at my little dining room table and we'd pray about it and we'd talk about it. And I pray, because when he moved out, Michelle moved in, we were married by then, but I think he moved on towns eventually, but I just pray that he got the message that he don't have to live like that. And maybe today you're here in this meeting and there's someone you trusted in your past that has spoken, diffused something on your life that was not fair, not right, and you know what? You need to give it up if you still haven't given it up. It still wants to hold this little hook in your heart, and it just wants to grab you sometimes. And you know, I want to tell you, God can deliver you from that and bring that. You can be free from that in the name of Jesus. And you need to be if we're going to move forward. Isn't that true? If you're talking about a mountain, that's a mountain for some people. That's a mountain sometimes. And Jesus says, speak to the mountain, it'll be removed. Don't talk about it. Don't speak about it. Speak to it. And I'd like to give opportunity at the end of this to do that. Here's the last thing we'll share today in regards to our tongue. It not only is our tongue a rudder, it sets the course and direction of our life. Our tongue is not just a diffuser, it sets the atmosphere around us, but our tongue is a consumer. We eat what we say. That's what the scripture says. Proverbs 13 verse 2 says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. There we go. A person literally, physically, will eat well by the fruit of their mouth. What goes in their mouth, it'll provide sustenance. And then it says, the metaphor comes now, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. So the soul, someone who's angry about life, just wants to get their words out there, be angry, be violent, whatever it may be, but they're unfaithful in some area and they just feed on violence. Consume it. They love it. And that's a shame. There's another verse in Proverbs 18:20. A man's stomach or a person's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Isn't that interesting? Once again, it goes from the natural, what you eat will fill your stomach. It'll be nutrition to you. And then it says the produce of his lips shall be filled. the produce of his lips he shall be. Talking about spiritual aspect of what we speak will and what we eat, what we allow into our soul through our words. And at times we need to speak to ourselves, you know. At times we need to speak to ourselves because life can be becoming a bit difficult or circumstances are crowding in on us. And there are times in Scripture when we see this, there's examples of it in Scripture. We need to speak to ourselves life and feed on life statements, not destructive statements. David, King David said this in Psalm 103 verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name." You know what David's doing there? He's speaking literally to his soul. He's saying, come on, soul, pick up the pace, bless the Lord, soul. In other words, it's not just my mouth is praising him, but you, soul, you follow along. Come on, change the way I'm speaking. It's never going to help you. Bless the Lord, that inner part of me, that emotional part of me, that feeling part of me that determines, because out of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Sometimes I think there should be another scripture, when we speak it, the heart will then follow. Because we're changing the course of our direction of our lives when we start to speak life. Come on, soul. That's what David was doing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm speaking it. I'm praising God. Now, soul, I want you to know that. So this anxiety, this discouragement inside me, I'm going to say, Father, come and invade that space and change it to peace and joy and hope and purpose. That's what David's doing. I love that about David. There was times that David had no one to encourage him, and he would encourage himself, it says in Scripture. And you can feel good about yourself by speaking, you can't feel good about yourself by speaking negative words. It's no good, it doesn't help, I'm just stupid, I'm just hopeless, I'm never going to beat this, I'm never going to make it. You know, you get what you speak, and that's the Bible says, it's the fruit of your lips. So no one wants to see bad fruit in their lives, broken relationships, always being grumpy and angry, always thinking the worst. Well, maybe the truth is you got to change something. You got to change how you speak, because what's coming out of your mouth, maybe you're that way. Maybe you think, oh, I do get grumpy. I just get angry. Or maybe, look, I think sometimes we're just tired. I can get grumpy when I'm tired. But, you know, the truth is sometimes we're grumpy because we just think, you know, the world is a terrible place. Well, I think the world's a great place. And it's not because I'm super positive. I just think I think that's the way God thinks. He sees every opportunity. And so we've got to be careful. If you're that way, anger, broken feelings and relationships and grumpy, because it's possibly because of the way what's coming out of your mouth that you've got to address. Sometimes we've got to be careful of our sayings, our colloquial sayings. You know, have you heard the saying, someone comes up to you? I haven't had this one exactly like this, but I would have had five people say to me, how you going? And I've been thinking about that because I've been thinking, well, I'm well. And, you know, they were looking for that, you know, just the normal answer. Oh, yeah, great. No, I was thinking about it. I said, well, I'm well. When I got to church, I said, I'm not wet. People look back at you. They just give me the standard answer. Don't give me all that other stuff. But sometimes we can have someone sometimes people will say this, how are you going? And the standard response can be, not too bad. And I've thought of that statement. What? You're bad, but you're not too bad? If someone says that to you, why don't you say that? That'll make them think. So you're bad, but you're not too bad. What's that mean? You only do badness a little bit? You only have, your habits are just a little bit bad, not real bad? What is it? And you know, the truth is that we're not bad. We're not bad at all. It's just that that's the common sense. That's what we say, don't we? I'm not too bad. Or what did you say? I'm doing really good. That'd be a good answer, wouldn't it? Instead of speaking something that's not life. Folks, we have a 24-hour news cycle that wants to speak negative stuff. We have a world that continues. And you know what? Stop listening to it all the time, because it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you at all. And if it's at the forefront of your mind, why don't you change what you listen to, okay? We should think on the goodness of the Lord, the things that are worthy of praise and worthy of thanksgiving. There was a guy called Paul wrote the Philippian church, and he said in Philippians 4:8, think on things that are good and worthy of praise and worthy of thanksgiving and pure and right and true. Think on those things. Why does he say that? Because God knows what we think on gets into our heart and then comes out our mouth, and so we can change that by what we think on. I don't think we can change what we think on by what we speak. I think it reverses. It goes the other way too. So if the team's just going to come up, that'd be much appreciated. You know, my Bible tells me, magnify the Lord. I love that word. You've heard it many times, and you know what I'm about to say. But some of us magnify the world and its problems. And, you know, where the Bible says magnify God. And what it's really saying is don't make the world bigger than your God, because your God is bigger than your problems. You know, our God created the universe. My goodness, we can't even reach the end of the universe. That's how big he is. It's just massive. God is incredibly big. But the truth is that God asks us to magnify him more than what the world faces. Because the world is very small. And if you get focused on the world, you'll become very small in your thinking. It's not the place to be. God says, when you start to magnify the God of the creation and the God of the universe, my goodness, all things are possible, aren't they? Magnify the Lord. Make him bigger in your heart than the world's problems. People have said to me, oh, you're just hyped. You're just hyped. That's just hype. No, it's not. It's Bible. It's what the Bible says. That's God's ways. Would you agree? Can we stand today together? We're going to sing a song in a moment. Our tongue directs the course of our life. It's like a rudder. Our tongue changes the atmosphere of our life. It's a diffuser. Our tongue, when we realize that we eat what we say, let's be aware of what we say. So important. So important. You know, today, before we actually just sing our last song, can I just ask you a question today? Can we just close our eyes for a moment? Maybe you're here today, and the truth is there's something that's been spoken over your life, and it's yet to really be dealt with. It wants to jump up sometimes and just grab you in the heart and just wants to remind you that, you know, you can't beat this, or you'll always be like this, or this is what, you know, it's a bit like my friend who had this poor body image, and he grappled with it. And I'm not saying that's your problem today, but maybe someone you trust, someone you care for, and they've said something to you and it's just wounded you. And you've yet to really release that. You're yet to really hand that over. You know, the presence of God is here and he wants to just minister to you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to take that today so that you don't have to keep on walking in that. Some of us rehearse the problem more than we should in our minds. It comes up and we go over it again and again. And something bad happens to us and we say, that'll be right. That's because I'm like this. This is happening because I'm like... And you rehearse it and rehearse it. Stop in the name of Jesus doing that. Stop going over it. Oh, some of us at this very moment are going, I'm never going to find what I'm looking for. I'm never going to find the job. I'm never going to find that what I'm looking... No, stop it in the name of Jesus. He's for us, not against us. Amen? It says in Jeremiah, he wants to bless you. He doesn't want to curse you. It's just going to start with what comes out of your mouth. But if you're here today and you acknowledge the reality that there's something that is it's just worried you. It wants to jump up and grab you sometimes. I'd love to just pray this morning and believe with you for what God could deliver or take that thing away as you surrender it to him. Really simple stuff, but we just need to hand it over. And sometimes it just starts with the acknowledgement that it's there. And so if you're here today and you just know, come on, as we all close our eyes, just give everybody a moment of just personal space. If that's you today, you just know, I just need to surrender that thing today. Would you just raise your hand? And I'd just love to pray for you. Great. Come on. Hands here. Come on. Come on. That's good. It's hands all over. Father, I just thank you right now. In this sacred moment, just with your presence here, Holy Spirit, with that hand raised, Father, take it today. We surrender it to you today. No more do we need to, Lord, listen to that and rehearse it in our minds. I pray in the name of Jesus, your deliverance and your power, for that thing to be gone in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And replace it with your peace, Father, your joy, your hope, in the name of Jesus. Self-control, Lord, that we won't rehearse it in our brains all the time, our minds, but we'll give it and not pick it up again, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Right now, we don't have to walk in that way. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. You're our helper. You're our minister. Holy Spirit, minister into each heart and life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Father.